Good morning again. I tried to find connections between today's gospel reading and the work of Hope Inborn, but I didn't get very far. It only reminded me that I used to worry so much as a kid about people who had remarried, what would happen to them in the afterlife, or people who had lost a limb, how were they going to be reconnected? But I hope that I'm grown up a little bit. I'm not sure I did. Anyway, it's nice to be here and see familiar faces once again, although it's cold outside. So instead of mulling over the gospel, this week I reflected instead on the homily that Reverend Myra gave last week about the meaning of connections as key to our individual survival and for community life. Indeed, connections keep hope alive and thriving. Our connections with Spiritus is as whole as hope itself. And it continues to nourish our work in Bourne on the northern coast of Haiti. Dr. Tony, whom you may remember, he has been here several times, our medical director since 2006, wrote an amazing letter to the Spiritus community last week, in which he explains the meaning of this partnership and the connections we have built over the past 23 years. Together, these connections have, to get through these connections, these communities have stuck together through thick and thin, in times of plenty, and also in times when the path was not very clear. I can't forget 1998. Many of you can't either. It was a pivotal year indeed, the year when Corpus Christi, our church community, was forced to make the decision to live by values that we could not compromise: the ordination of women, all are welcome to communion, and gay marriage. We chose to follow our conscience and leave the Catholic Church to find our own path. That year, 1998, a group of parishioners and Hope board members, including Father Jim and the yet-to-be-ordained Reverend Mary, had a retreat in Bourne to discern what these changes meant for both organizations. As a result, we became Hope, and our mission continued to be to assist the community of Bourne as it strived to deal with severe health problems, dire poverty, poor education, and the lack of basic infrastructures. At the same time, the mission of Spiritus Christi was also taking shape, to live by its values and continue the work of social justice. The message to Spiritus from people we met in Bourne during the retreat was very clear. Simon, who was a peasant farmer, an old friend, and a homegrown philosopher, gave Father Jim and Mary a charge. Why are you here complaining? Because we were all saying, where are we going? We don't have a church. We don't have a building, and so forth and so on. But Simon got to the point. Go back to Rochester and train people to continue doing the work of justice that brought you to this point. Stop thinking and get to work. Take care of the poor and homeless, the incarcerated, and those who can't afford medical care or mental health care. Over the last 23 years, the partnership and connections between the Spiritus and Bourne communities was evidenced in many ways. Spiritus parishioners went to Bourne, and Bourne folks visited Rochester. More would have come if they could have obtained a visa. Spiritus continued to support Hope's work in Bourne, but there were some special moments, and I'll share just a couple with you. Just 1 month after the 9/11 Twin Towers bombings, Paul Coppinger and I were in Bourne for a quick trip. We were so surprised when we arrived to find out that people in Bourne were concerned about us in the States, and on weekends held all-night prayer vigils by candlelight because there was no electricity, to pray for the dead and pray for the wounded. Paul and I attended the vigil and were very, very moved and comforted by the prayers. I recall also that in 2007, some Spiritus parishioners organized a Water for Haiti drive to raise money to fix the water distribution system at the hospital in Bourne so that staff and patients would have clean water. They sold hundreds of bottles of water after each mass and raised a whopping $30,000, and we fixed the water system. What I want to say through these stories is that it is only through collaboration and caring for each other that we improve the world, and that Hope and Spiritus have been a good example of that over the years. Alone, we cannot go far. Together, we can conquer any obstacles. At this time of political upheaval in Haiti, once again, Spiritus remains a beacon of light and hope for folks in Bourne. People there remember the name of everyone who comes to Bourne and when. Our connections mean a great deal to them. Really, they are still amazed that there are people who care about them, even though they live very far away and have no idea what life is like in Bourne. I'm not exaggerating here. People really appreciate this. Hope has formed several partnerships with universities and funding organizations over the years. But to people in Bourne, Spiritus was there from the beginning, and Spiritus parishioners know them. That's a powerful connection. Once again, news coming from Haiti is not very good. The country has been paralyzed by street protests and strikes for the past 8 weeks. We hear about the protests in Hong Kong, Venezuela, Brazil, other parts of the world, but very little about Haiti. It is so poor that it does not matter whatever happens there. Schools have been closed for 8 weeks. Imagine kids missing 8 weeks of school. Businesses only open a few hours a week to allow people to buy whatever staples they have left. The value of the Haitian currency hit rock bottom. When we started in 1995, one US dollar was worth 18 Haitian gourds. Now one US dollar does not even buy 100 Haitian gourds. So the rate of inflation is really significant. And the cost of critical items is also spiraling. The cost of food, medicines, gas, transportation, whatever you may need to live, is beyond what poor people can afford. People can't earn from selling their produce and goods because it is too dangerous to travel to markets. And businesses can't afford to pay their employees either because they cannot sell. Donors and grant agencies are also scared to invest in programs in Haiti. A couple weeks ago, one agency contacted me and they said, well, we want to invest money in Haiti, but we expect a return. I said, what? People can buy food and you expect to make money from what you want to invest in Haiti. It did not go very well. Hope was forced to trim programs, staff, and services. So we have to rely on private donations until things settle down and we can apply for grants again and USAID unblock money going to Haiti. But we forge ahead nevertheless. All is quiet in Bourn, fortunately, while major cities outside of Bourn are really paralyzed by protests. Dr. Tony says that Bourn is tense, but trying to survive this political power play. In light of the political standoff and Hope's financial situation, I've given a lot of thought to our 23 years of work in the commune of Bourn, trying to figure out what we have accomplished, if anything, and whether we really make a difference. I talked to people and looked at our data. When I talked to Dr. Tony last week about this again, he reminded me, we came to some interesting observations. He always reminds me that hope is a beacon of light, and not to underestimate that we are the only organization that takes the time to know people in Bourn and stay connected with them. I have to believe him, since we've worked together for the past 13 years. So here are some highlights from the conversations that I've had and that everyone can agree on, could agree on. One is that the population is invested in its own health. It was not the case 23 years ago. People continue to use our services, even though we had to increase the fees to try to supplement the funding we lost. The cost of a medical visit went from being one quarter to 50 cents. And that 50 cents is a lot of money there. When you think about what we pay for a medical visit here, this is quite amazing. Tony told me a couple days ago that the number of patients coming for care is increasing significantly after a slight slump. People are really are developing health issues connected with their anxieties, and that's something we have to pay attention to. Another point that we agreed on is that there is a marked reduction in maternal and child death. Last year, we only had 2 maternal deaths in our system and 20 infant deaths. 20 is still too many kids newborn to die. A few years ago, I can't even remember the number of maternal deaths. It was like 50, 60 a year. More women attend prenatal care clinics, although it costs a lot more, and are giving birth at the hospital or use the services of a midwife that was trained by Hope. An average of 30 women a month give birth at the hospital, up from 16 barely about 4 years ago. Another point is that community health education works. Malaria is practically gone, while a few years ago, so many people were suffering from it. Cholera cases are down to single digits a year in Bourn, while it is there's so much more cholera in other parts of the country. The rate of HIV and AIDS infections is below 2%, while 10 years ago, it was close to 6%. People do listen to health messages and are using them to modify their behaviors. Wash your hands, clean up your environment, drink clean water, vaccinate children, use oral rehydration solution when someone has diarrhea, and so forth and so on. This is simple public health with a community approach. Another point is that prevention, prevention, prevention. We keep doing prevention work. We focus on preventing problems before they become emergencies. So community health workers still spend the countryside, to vaccinate children and pregnant women, to take care of emerging problems as much as they can in those remote areas. Another point is that capacity building is so important. Staff need to know, whether it is the medical staff or the field staff, that they need to know what to increase their knowledge and improve their ability to face the problems they encounter. And therefore, we continue to train staff and continue to train field staff. Another point is that adult education and civic engagement do make a difference. As adults learn to read and write, they also learn about their rights and their obligations as citizens and members of a community. Another point is that access to information through libraries open young and old minds to the world and to different choices. We have now 2 libraries and a 3rd is almost done. We also are using some old desktop or laptops to train people to use a computer. And it's always amazing to see the first time a computer lights up and people see what's happening on the screen and learn to use it to connect to other things. Economic empowerment, lastly, is critical if we want these gains to remain sustainable. There are signs that we are making some inroads with a women-run market, small income-generating activities, such as the ones that RIT students are working on with Sarah Brownell and her colleagues, and a struggling savings program for women and for teens, and for men trying to save enough money to open a business. So there is hope, and we continue to believe that we'll be able to keep going. In making this partial list, I got to understand that it is through the people-to-people connections, the networks, the respectful exchanges of ideas, the time spent teaching women in mothers' clubs, or adolescents in adolescent groups, for example, that we do make a difference and can assist people in Bourne as they build a better community. Someone told me the other day that it is the mission of hope and its philosophy of empowerment that bring people together across 2 very different cultures and communities to do this work. You are part of it. You are part of that work. Please own it and help us continue the work. Thank you.